This episode of ELR is brought to you in part by Audible.com. Go to audiblepodcast.com/extralife and get a free audiobook download today.
Okay, okay, so who would it be minty fresh?
Brad Pitt's got good breath.
Foo Fighters.
Had to be a dude. Yeah. That doesn't, I mean.
Morgan, okay. Morgan Freeman has good breath.
This is Extra Life Radio.
This episode of Extra Life Radio is brought to you in part by GoDaddy.com, where the codes Life1, Life2, and Life3 continue to save you money on hosting, domains, and more at GoDaddy.com. Additional support comes from the generous contribution of Bass Cahuzac. This episode is for you. Hey everybody, welcome back to Extra Life Radio. This is ELR number 225, if thou canst believe it. Wednesday, September 9th, 2009 is the date, and we are back with a full show of goodness. Joining me fresh from his trip to Dragon Con, Atlanta, Georgia, USA, happy fun time, is Brian Dunaway.
Happy good time!
Brian Dunaway. Now, my understanding is while you were in the far-off land of Atlanta, you actually touched Veronica's boob. Can you confirm or deny?
I can neither confirm nor deny that.
Okay. All right. Thought I'd catch.
But I'm going to say I'm denying it.
I know she's listening, so it's all for her.
Yeah.
But you did get to hang out with Veronica and Tom and others. We'll talk about that in a moment.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. I can't wait to hear about it. Also joining us from way down in Colombia, not Colombia, British type. But the other one is, Obsidian, Sergio Vallejo, coming all the way from Colombia tonight from commissioncomic.com. Hello, O.
Hello. Scott, I heard a rumor, and I need you to confirm it.
I'm ready.
Okay, the rumor I heard is that you once went on a trip down to Peru, got drunk, married a donkey, and then had to leave her at the Mexican border going home. And the reason you could leave her and you could get an easy divorce was because when you were drunk in Peru, you actually signed the marriage papers with the name Juan Carlos Francisco de la Buena Esperanza y Chiquinquirá. And then you went back to your native Utah, got married to Kim, but you never actually told her the truth about your first and deepest love.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, the donkey was supposed to be named Linda.
Linda the donkey. Well, you have most of the story right. The only part you got wrong. So I'll confirm all of this is all true, but it was a goat, not a donkey. Very important point. Yeah.
So you married a goat named Linda.
A goat named Linda. A billy goat with a beard named Linda.
When you got drunk in Peru.
Yeah. Yeah, it was great. Peru makes some.
It happens. Yeah.
They're known for that stuff down there.
Yeah.
An American goes down there, you're screwed. All right. Well, it's good to have all of us here sitting around the ELR table. Plenty to talk about tonight. We may as well just get freaking started. So, Brian, let's talk about Atlanta. Let's talk about Dragon Con. This is your third trip to Dragon Con ever, right?
Fourth trip.
Holy crap, dude. You're a regular.
Number four.
You're like Derek Caliendo, or however you say his last name. Did you see him there, by the way? Did you see him?
Exactly like him. Who?
Derek. Remember, he's on our show once, the skepticality guy. He's like him and...
Oh, yeah. That Derek. Yeah, I thought you were talking about the other Derek.
Yeah,
the other Derek who does artwork.
Oh.
No, I actually didn't see him. I didn't see him.
He was there somewhere.
He was there somewhere. I know. I kept looking. I don't know if I was just overlooking him. I never went to the front when I was in the podcast room where a lot of that podcast was going on. I never really went to the front. I kind of tried to stay towards the back.
So to keep out of everyone's way.
Yeah.
I understand. So you were able to meet up with our good friend Veronica Belmont. You hung out with Tom Merritt. You hung out with
Len from Jawbone Radio.
Yeah, Len was there. That's right. You got to see and meet. Didn't you shake the hand of Adam Savage from Mythbusters? Didn't that happen?
I did more than shake his hand.
You hugged him.
I gave him a noogie. No, I'm just kidding. I did just shake his hand.
Or as my Uncle Joel would say, you put the wood to him. No?
No. But I
that's
did.
That's a myth.
I,
that's a myth. We busted
it. That's totally a myth. We. I got to say, if you ever want to go to a convention, I recommend you go to the convention with Lynn from Jawbone Radio, because the man has no fear, and he got us backstage to so many things that we couldn't have possibly gotten backstage or gotten to see.
How did he work that out? Because I saw him, like, he's got pictures of him and the Monty Python guy.
It's so funny. I mean, it's like, okay, you're like, Lynn's like, wait here. And you're like, okay. And not a problem. I'm a big chicken. Okay. So he'll run and he'll go over, and all of a sudden you'll see him kind of whispering and talking, and the people look like they're listening to him. Next thing you know, he's giving you the wave over, and you're like,
really?
What did he say? I still don't know what he said. But
was Jamie there or just Adam Savage, by the way?
Jamie was not there.
All right. That's
Jamie was not there. There was a lot of lookalikes like Jamie, but there was no true Jamie Heineman there.
All right. That's cool, though. Well,
the rumor I've heard, this is not a rumor like the Peru rumor, which is actually true. This is an actual rumor. I've heard that they don't actually get along very well. That's what I've heard.
On the show, sometimes it kind of shows. They'll have like, and they don't do it as much as they used to. Back in the early days, like season one, you could see like there was a little bit of going on between them. Now they don't really show that. But those guys have like the two most like different personalities possible. So I'm guessing that's probably true, just because that's how that goes usually, you know?
Yeah. Based on what Adam Savage said during his talk, which, by the way, he is. If you ever get a chance to see him speak, he's brilliant.
Yeah, he's great on stage.
He's a great speaker. He said that he actually worked for
Jamie
Heineman.
Yeah.
So yeah, Jamie Heineman. He actually worked for Jamie Heineman for a while, and that's how they got to know each other.
Yeah, he worked in that studio with him to do the special effects stuff and everything. Yeah.
I think there's still maybe a little bit of boss employee kind of mentality there, even though I think they're kind of a little bit more on the same playing field now, but I think it's still there a little bit. You know what I mean?
Well, Adam seems to love the camera, loves being in your face, loves laughing and goofing around, and he's definitely that personality, the fun-loving guy. And then Jamie's just quiet, wants to sort of do the work, be done. It's rare for him to sort of let loose. And so, yeah, when you have that dynamic, I'm guessing there's, like O was saying, I'm guessing there's a little bit of, you know, friction.
I mean, it's just like on this show. I mean.
Yeah, you know. Dude. I mean, you with the mustache.
Which one is your favorite?
Of the two, what is your favorite, Brian? Yeah. Who do you like better, Jamie or...
Adam. Well, I've met Adam, so, what can you say? I definitely would have to say Adam Savage is my favorite. And he is the nicest, most sincere. I mean, he looks you directly in the eye when you're talking to him, even though he's going... I know he's going to be thinking, who is this moron? Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, you know, what's he got on his face? There's like a chocolate or something on his face. I want to get it off. But he totally stays focused in on everything you say, and he acts like you're the most important person in the room, and that is just a great skill.
Yeah, I agree. He seems, I've never met him, but he seems like a really nice guy. And I would recommend anybody who's only seen him on Mythbusters or would like to know more, if you really want to see something amazing, go to TED.com and search for his TED Talk. Just search for Adam Savage, or just Savage.
Yeah.
One of the best talks you'll ever see at TED. Was great.
Absolutely.
For creative
people.
If you're creative at all, if you like making stuff, the guy's just, you know, he's like a role model. So anyway, so you saw that. Tell me about some of the highlights. I know, you know, hanging out with Len, of course, is a highlight because he's this little shrimpy Asian guy.
Yeah, totally. I mean, we got to hang out with Veronica and Roger and Tom and Len and a few other podcasters out there.
Yeah.
And that was incredibly fun. It was nice to not only meet those people, I felt like I had an immediate connection with them. You know, I've had people where I've talked to them on the internet before for years, and I'd meet them, and it's like, okay, these people are totally different. But in real life, you know, Veronica and Tom and all those guys, they seem just the same in real life.
Yeah, they're maybe as nice of people as you'll ever meet.
Oh, absolutely.
No question about it.
And smart, way smarter than I thought. I mean, Tom, I thought, was a dummy, but, you know, he's...
It turns out he's all right.
He's brilliant.
he can do basic math.
I'm not kidding.
No, Tom's great.
I love Tom. He's a great guy.
So when you guys when you guys were there, I mean, how is the showing this year for things like, you know, what's interesting is this particular show was smack dab at the same time as PAX. And there was kind of the big choice out there to go to PAX or go to Dragon Con. Turns out that everybody got sick at PAX, so maybe you made the right choice. But
yeah.
Why did everybody get sick of PAX?
No, not sick of PAX. Sick
swine
at PAX.
Flu.
Yeah, everyone gets sick.
Or some kind of flu.
Yeah,
well, Bryce doesn't exactly sound very healthy right now.
No, that's just... allergies are different, yeah.
Yeah.
But these guys are like, you know, like Scott Kurtz has had this fever for 3 days. So does Mike from Penny Arcade. So does Will Wheaton, who was there. Everybody I've talked to who has spent any real time there got sick at PAX.
Yeah.
But it was all happening at the same time.
I think
it
was Will Wheaton in his little 3D goggles he had during that Next Generation. And he kept making everybody get it. You know, remember that
the
one?
The cones and the Frisbees?
Yeah, that's the ones.
With the Judd girl was in it?
Yeah.
Yep. Anyway, so dude, that's such the worst episode. But what I was getting at is you've got these two sort of juxtaposed together, but in truth, they're really not connected. Was there any kind of video game presence at Dragon Con, say, compared to other years, or has that always never been an important thing? I know people are doing tabletop and that, but that's different.
Yeah. There has been a larger presence in the past. There was hardly any video gaming. They did have there was a World of Warcraft presence there, but not to insult anybody, I just didn't feel like it was very large or very organized. The podcasting section seems to be growing, which is really good.
Yeah,
first couple of years I went, there was hardly anything to that, but I mostly hung out either with podcasters or I went and hung out with the web cartoonist.
Oh yeah. So how was that? Lots of web cartoonists.
Oh yeah, yeah. I've met David Reddick before. He does Legend of Bill.
Yeah.
At legendofbill.com, and meeting him in real life was awesome. I mean, he is also a super nice guy. I am just amazed at how many nice people are in both these fields, in web cartooning and podcasting. It blows my mind.
Yeah, it's a great place to be. No question.
It's a great community. Yeah.
It's like I was saying at Kineticon. It's like all these web tunists who are just way nicer, not nicer than you might expect, but just, you know, you just, when you finally meet all these guys, you're like, oh, well, it's like nicest people on earth. What the hell?
Yeah,
you
yeah.
Know, why aren't there more of us?
Exactly. Now, I will say this, and I apologize to anyone who was in the RT section. They do have the web cartoonist and comic book artist separated by a large partition and a security guard to the fine arts area.
Really?
And it's kind of insulting, really, to me. It's like, I wouldn't want to be in the fine arts section because you're over here and you're hanging out and you're talking, you're doing commissions with cartoonists who are just the nicest people ever. And then you want to go over and see the fine art part, which is not that much more fine, if you ask me. And
right.
You walk over and they immediately say, stop you. You got water? Yes, I got water. Of course, I'm thirsting to death. I'm walking like 40 miles a day here. And they're going, you got to throw that away. Okay, I'll throw my water away, you big jerk. And plus they, it was like the only exit at the time. But then they say, would you have any flash photography or anything like that? I got to go, yeah, I got my camera. And they go, okay, we'll put it in this trash bag, and then we'll ziplock it up. And they, you know, they put these little
this is just in the fine arts place, not in everything? Or
yeah, in the fine – no, it's just in the fine arts section.
Oh,
and I'm like, come on. I mean, you're making me feel a little bit
that seems
silly
weird
here.
To me. Really
like I'm
going to
run around me taking pictures, click, 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 click. I don't know. It seems like to be a total different mentality over there, like each – piece of work is valued at such a high level or something, and not necessarily the artists themselves. So I don't know.
Oh, did they have that kind of separation in Connecticut where they had like different kind of artists separated out like that?
Not at all, but I mean, we're talking about a much smaller convention.
Yeah, yeah.
That's true. You've been to both. So Dragon Con's maybe one of the biggest, right? I mean, of these nerd get-togethers.
It is very large. Yeah, I've heard it's been compared, maybe not quite as big as San Diego Comic-Con, and certainly not as well organized from what I understand, but it is still, as far as pure number of people, it's up there.
They should move it to Vegas.
They should move. It's totally move.
They'll just drive.
And one of the things that's really perplexed me, the first couple of years I went, which, you know, was about 5 or 6 years ago,
yeah.
I saw a lot of people doing cosplay, but it was people like me and you, out of shape, you know.
Thanks, dude.
Yeah, well, I mean, come on. I mean, we're not – when I say out of shape, I'm comparing you to people who are, like, extremely buff. You know, people who go hit the gym
Oh, no, I definitely have computer guy physique. Yeah, I'm not. Over here. I mean, O's like the exception to the rule. He's Mr. Kung Fu Man or whatever, and he's all in shape all the time. But you and I are a little soft.
Even O looks like, you know, just an average Joe compared to some of the people that are showing up in these last couple of years. And I can't imagine that they ever had a chance to even read a comic book. But these people are like in fantastically incredible superhero shape. I mean, you're like, wow, these people really could be superheroes.
Yeah.
And it just blows my mind. But it feels kind of odd, too, because I feel like since those people have showed up, it seems like the ordinary people, it seems like fewer and fewer people are dressing up because I guess you don't want to show up as
you don't
want to show up as Spider-Man, you know, and here you are, a little bit pudgy Spider-Man. And,
you know, yeah, but you still have those, right? I mean, they still show up.
And there was this one girl, bless her heart.
Yeah,
she was the whitest person I'd ever seen in my life.
Okay,
and she was wearing a. I don't want to say because in case she listens to the show or something, or gets around. Anyway, she was a particular superhero, and this particular superhero had a costume. And I've never seen in the comic book where they have a thong, but she had a thong.
Okay.
Now, this woman was a little bit, you know, she was probably 200 pounds or more.
Wow.
So, you know, like maybe 5'8" or so. So we're not talking about a person who is in, you know, great looking shape.
Fair enough.
Certainly not fat, not way obese, but, you know, a little chunkier than what you expect. Anyway, I was coming out of the art show, and I saw her hiney, oh so shiny, and it freaked me out a little bit, and so I was kind of snickering about it. And then about that time, I heard her talk. These two kids had walked past me, and they were staring at her, and, you know, they had the same look on their face like I did, like, why in the world is this woman's butt hanging out like this?
Yeah.
And she turns around with the most sincere attitude and asks if the kids want to have a picture with insert superhero name here. And the kids looked like they were so uncomfortable, but they did it anyway.
Oh, and I would have done it too, you know?
Yeah, I know it. But it just amazed me that the confidence in this girl's voice – that, you know, she really felt like, you know, if you were playing Santa Claus, I mean, she was totally buying
Wait,
into
what
it.
What's the hero? Who was she?
Should I really say? Because I don't want people looking it up.
Oh, you want to look him up on the internet to see if they can find
him?
She's on Flickr. There's pictures of her on Flickr. That's the reason why
Was she a mainstream hero? That's what I want to know.
She's a DC hero. How about that?
Okay, fair enough.
Come on. Don't do that.
All right.
I remember when I was hanging out with Brian back in 07 at Dragon Con that one of the funniest things I saw was that a troop of Spartans, you know, from 300 passed by, and they were these huge dudes. I mean, they were probably guys that had never seen a comic book, never seen any sci-fi or fantasy in their lives. They just said, like, hey, you know, we're in great shape. We should just go here and, you know, have fun. This huge troop. I mean, and I'm talking about, like, I don't know if Brian remembers, like 10 or 15 guys.
Yeah.
All
they
of
were
them
back
huge, muscular, buff guys. Yeah. And the funniest thing is that the 15th guy was this short, fat dude.
How did he stick in here?
That's
great.
And he was like just hanging out with them. I mean, he was clearly part of the group, but he was like the fat friend.
Wow. All right.
Yeah, and they let him there anyway. But yeah, those guys were back too, by the way. And I'll just say that Veronica was going to the bathroom and she stopped and she took pictures of the Spartans.
Oh,
that's all I'm saying.
All right.
Yeah, apparently Spartans get the women's motor running. My wife had no problem stopping and taking pictures also.
Except the short little fat one.
Except for the short fat guy. He wasn't there this year.
Oh.
Apparently, so they must have drummed him out or he got in shape.
Yeah, or I was going to say, maybe he buffed up.
Yeah, 2 years is more than enough. I mean, he could.
Yeah.
Wow. All right.
So, I kind of wish more people would dress up and like that, and just like the one girl I was telling you about. Even maybe not to that extreme, to the point that you're showing your butt and you're embarrassing yourself a little bit. But, you know, take some chances.
You gotta admire though the personality. I mean, that this involves.
Yeah.
I mean, you would. I mean, of course, as males, as humans. As you know,
as human
people of this, as people of this earth, you wish that they, you know, probably were in better shape so that they were nicer to look at. But you got to admire, though. I mean, the kind of person that, you know, can go like, hey, you know, I weigh 600 pounds, but I don't give a crap. I'm going to be He-Man.
Yeah. Yeah, I can respect that. I totally respect that. Sure thing. So I don't even know. I've always thought, what would I be if I went?
Yeah.
And I still don't know. But I guess Adam Savage was like the best Wookiee ever. Did you guys see him when he was dressed up?
Totally. I don't know if I'm supposed to say this or not, but I'm going to say it anyway. And Lynn's probably going to repeat it on his show.
Yeah.
Lynn got to walk Adam Savage around in his Chewbacca.
In his Chewbacca, he can't really see, right?
You can't. Yeah, you couldn't. No one knew who he was
because it was like total like Peter Mayhew sized like freaking huge Wookiee.
Incredibly, you wouldn't know it.
Yeah, that's perfect. Have your little Asian helper walking you around in
exactly.
your Wookiee suit.
it was so cool. I was like that was just the most amazing story. How Lynn, like I said, he just works his magic. I mean, I don't
know.
Man,
I gotta know. I need to know.
Yeah,
is Lynn taller or shorter than me?
Lynn is maybe just barely shorter than you. I mean, it would be close.
Yeah, that'd be a little round it'd one close, I'd want to see. Yeah.
There's
Scott,
a picture
the people
of me
squishing him?
Yeah, there's a picture of me squishing him like I did.
You never
like
squished
I
me.
I did when you weren't looking. We took pictures.
Yeah, they're no one will ever see those.
You rubbed up.
That's right. You rubbed up
again. Scott, the people of the chat room are asking, and they want to know what you would dress up as. And I think we should all say what we would dress up
as. All right. If I had to pick someone to dress up as, I think I would probably get a good brown coat Firefly rig going. I think that's what I'd probably do. Because I don't want to do the whole headpiece, freaking makeup everywhere stuff. I just want to look like a cool dude from Firefly.
Yeah. Yeah.
That would be me. Brian, who would you be?
Wait, cool. It's going to either be the Blob or Juggernaut.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah, I want to fit the part. Yeah. what I'm saying. If you're 600 pounds, you know, dress up as the Blob. You would be the most fantastic Blob ever, and everyone would. No one would laugh. Everybody, they would laugh in glee in the fact that, you know, that you'd went out and you decided to go ahead and be who you could be, which is the Blob.
Yeah, and by the way, don't people get confused. Brian is not a big fat guy.
Yeah, I was just about to say. But what I was also about to say is, I mean, there's a certain, like, how is that you say it? Threshold, or however you pronounce it?
Threshold.
Threshold.
Of fatness, where from that point on, you don't make fun of that guy, because that guy is definitely huge. And if he's that huge and walking around, he can probably squish you.
Yeah, he can still move that weight.
I mean,
let's face it, if you're 600 pounds, you're still lifting 600 pounds of fat. So, I mean,
I always wished I could be one of those guys that could. Somewhere. I always wish I was one of those guys that could be really creative about a costume. You know, O's done like the Lego guy, which is pretty creative. And you see these things at BlizzCon and other places where people have like motorized stuff underneath them and just crazy ideas for costumes. And I never think of anything cool. Like, this is my lame-o idea. It's like, I want to be a guy from Firefly.
I want to wear a brown trench coat.
It's one of those things I just never think of. I can't think of a good costume. And someone always shows up with something cool. So
I got a plan for next year.
All right, who are you going to be?
But this is actually for next year. I can't do it this year because I decided that I was going to dress up as Kratos.
Oh, Kratos would be awesome.
Yeah.
That would be awesome. Yeah.
But
I thought
thing
you was
is,
much taller.
yeah. So I'll be a short Kratos, whatever. And, but thing is, I am definitely not that built. So I am very serious about this. I actually started out at the gym a week ago again, and I have 1 year to actually get myself into a Kratos kind of shape.
Wow.
Nice.
I thought you were going to say you're going to implants, like bicep implants or something.
No. That is actually my objective for Halloween 2010. I am going to have a Kratos-like body so I can dress up.
Nice. I love how
so
far ahead you
Kratos
plan.
When you're working out. Yeah, that's true. We got to, man. I mean, that's a lot of
two Halloweens away, and you've got it planned. I think that's great. I wish I could think that far ahead. I don't even know what I'm doing this year.
Yeah, I don't know. This year I'm going to be a Tiki Warrior.
Oh, that's cool.
Nice.
What are you
you've inspired me, I think I'm going to try to be the Blob by 2010 Halloween. I think I can do it. I'm just going to start eating nothing but fat back.
Do it. Oh, man, you'd make my day.
The funny thing is that both my plan and yours are probably going to cost a lot. You know,
yeah.
I have to pay for the gym every month, and you have to pay for all that food.
Hey, can I ask you a question about the gym?
And the heart surgery.
The gym and all the heart bypass and everything. When you're in Colombia, do you guys have to commit to 2 years when you do a gym membership, or do you just
pay monthly? Gyms here are so much easier, man. I mean, here, I just pay for the month. If I want, I can pay for 2 months, 3 months, and I get a discount because I'm paying for 3 months. I can also pay for the year. But if I want, I just pay for a month and go for that month and never go again.
That's why I think America would have less obesity problem if they would quit making us commit to 2 years of $25 a month. People, yeah. Come on. Yeah. I mean, I know they want us to keep going, and that, in theory, should get you motivated because you're paying for 2 years. But no, dude, I just want to be able to pay. And then if I'm, you know, on vacation during 1 month and I can't get there the many times I want to, I want to quit that month and come back the next. Oh, my gosh.
Like
we are so behind the times. Exactly, dude. Oh, Netflix for the win. Netflix model for all businesses. That's what
I have a very huge announcement.
Actually. Oh, do it. What do you got? Pour it on us. Lay it on us.
Tomorrow, September 10th, is a very important day for me because tomorrow, September 10th, Commissioned Comic turns 5 years old.
Oh, look at that.
Oh, nice. Congratulations.
5 years ago, our little Obsidian was tooling around with his pen and said, ding.
You know what I'm going to do? I think for the next 5 years, I'm going to draw a comic strip.
I'm going to do a straight.
In my life. It's gonna be fantastic.
I'm sure that's exactly how it went.
So I doggone went and did that.
Yes, you did. Oh, my hell. I made a comic. It's 5 years old. That's great. Very big, huge congratulations. That's awesome. 5 years is no small milestone by any measure.
Yeah. And I heard a lot of questions. I heard a lot of people ask me this at Dragon Con. Where's Scott Johnson?
Well, Scott Johnson was not at Dragon Con, of course. And Scott Johnson wasn't even at PAX. Scott Johnson, I think if he'd had the choice, though, to go to one, I think I would have gone Dragon Con. Because you guys were all there. PAX would have been fun, yeah. But none of my friends were there. But like all my friends were at Dragon Con this year. So
it was awesome.
I'd really like to go next year, and I'm going to plan for it now. I'm going to do like O with his costume. I'm going to say now's the time, and I'm just going to clear my docket. Now. Is it always in August, or is it sometime or September? Is it always?
Yeah, it's usually very early in September.
All right.
I mean, it's
how was the heat? How's the heat?
It was not that bad. I mean. I wore a long sleeve shirt over top of a t-shirt most of the time I was there. Now, that's not to say that it was cool.
I
like the sweat and the crotch.
You just never know what you're going to encounter because you'll be in one conference room and it'll be like, oh my God, did they turn on the air conditioning? I mean, because it is freezing.
Yeah.
And then you go somewhere else and you're just burning up. So you can kind of throw it on and off. And that's usually the best way to dress
layers. How do you think Adam smelled in his Wookiee suit? Woo. But that was
I never actually saw
like
him as
a Wookiee. He probably smelled like a Wookiee.
I really want
to
go.
It was kind of unfair. I didn't like that part. That's the one thing I didn't like about Lin getting us into everything first because I knew I couldn't win any prizes. Because I already knew that Adam was a Wookiee and I didn't want to run up and go, hey, I gotcha.
That would have been funny. Just give an evil look to Lin and pretend like you don't know him. That would have been great.
I win. But no, that was the bad thing about it. But I never did get to see him. I was over in a voice actors seminar, I think, or something like that.
Oh, that's cool. Panel?
No, I know what I was doing. I was the only one of our group. All of us wanted to go to the Venture Brothers panel, and I was the only one to make it in. It was packed.
Yeah.
And then Lin rubbed it in because he got to go to Adam Savage's room and walk him around and take pictures and be super cool.
Which is nuts. Freaking Lin.
Holy.
Scrappy little bastard.
That jerk. But I tell you, it was fun being live at the Sword and Laser. I don't know if you've listened to the Sword and Laser.
I have.
Veronica and Tom, they both did one live.
Yeah, it was great. It was probably their best show.
It was. Yeah. It was great to hear that feedback, immediate feedback, when you made something funny or if you didn't even know you was funny.
Yeah. Like, no, they did great. They were awesome.
But it was awesome. It was great.
Well, all righty. There you have it. News from the front lines. Thank you, Brian. Glad you had a good time. Let's talk about some movie stuff real quick. Brian or O asked me last show if I'd finally seen G.I. Joe, and lo and behold, I finally did. I saw it Saturday. I saw it with Nick, and it turns out the girls wanted to go somewhere else, so they were going to, and then they came and decided to see this instead. So we ended up all seeing it.
Oh.
And I don't know what anyone's guess is about what I thought of this movie, but I'll probably blow some of your minds here.
I'm going to say you loved it.
I liked it a lot, and here's why. It is a movie with toys in it. You know, it's basically yeah. what it's a great big toy movie. It's what you would do if I was 12, maybe younger, let's say 8, and I had my action figures and I was coming up with my own little scenarios in my bedroom or whatever. This is it. I mean, that is what that movie is. From top to bottom, it is action figures doing things on screen that you would have imagined them doing when you were a kid. And that to me was just great. I had a ball with it. It was so much fun. Did it have great acting? No, freaking acting was terrible. Was it a great movie in the traditional sense of great films? Absolutely not. It was terrible by those measures. But yeah. that's not what I measured it against. I'm glad I didn't. And some would say, well, you hated Transformers 2. What's the difference? Well, the Transformers 2 doesn't get it in the way that this movie gets it. This Hasbro movie knew that it was a toy movie. And it needed to be ridiculous and fun and energetic and just action from end to end and not too much talking and a totally hot Scarlet and all that.
Yeah.
O was right about her. She's a total Betty. So that was all true. And they delivered in spades and it was just fun, dude. The popcorn never went down so easy as me watching this thing.
Yeah.
And then as a comparison to Transformers 2, I didn't feel like they had that at all. I don't feel like they knew what their material was. And this felt like they know the source and they're not screwing around. And I loved the fact that there were some fairly decent actors lending their talents to this thing. I thought it was funny that this is the director of the original Mummy, and which I was a fan of. And I liked that Brendan Fraser showed up in the middle of it as one of the Joes doing some training and stuff. That was cool. I'm pretty sure what I'm saying now mirrors what O had said. But I think it was just fun. It was just ridiculous, stupid fun.
Yeah.
And I would recommend it on those, you know, on those grounds. Yeah. So
both of these movies to me, Transformers 1 and Transformers 2 was something I want to take my kids to see. And I've got a 7-year-old and an 11-year-old, and I'm not saying I'm a prude, but I don't want my kids in on a whole bunch of vulgar jokes or
giant metallic testicles like that.
And saying and calling people bitches and that kind of stuff, because I don't want my kids doing it, and I don't want take them around my grandparents or my parents and them, yeah, bitch, you know what I'm saying? I don't want that.
There's way less of that in this movie. I won't say there's.
Wouldn't it be awesome if one of these days, like your mother or something, goes like, yeah, bitch.
Yeah. Well, I mean, let's face it. We're the aging population, and that may be a possibility.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I think
that would be so awesome.
It would be freaky. The movie is relatively free of that sort of thing. There's lots of cleavage and hot chickies. But that's fine. Whatever.
Yeah, but that just bounces off most kids. I mean,
they don't care. Exactly. Nick didn't even notice. But what else are you going to say about it? Oh, it's a little. Some people may say, I don't think so, because I saw it and I didn't think so. But a lot of people have said, oh, it's way more violent than it should be. There's a lot of gore and blood and things. I didn't think it was that bad. I didn't think so at all.
Did they watch like a different movie?
Well, I think they're talking about when like what's his name gets his face burned.
Oh, come on.
Oh, what a bunch of wussies. Who's ever never seen somebody get their face burned?
An Eccleston guy. What's the character? I forgot the character. What's the character? Crap, who does he play?
Snake Eyes.
No. The metal face Duke. Guy. Why can't I think of him?
Oh, Destro.
Destro. Geez, Scott.
Oh, those are awesome. Destro Dragon.
Yeah. So there's that. There's the whole Destro bit, and that. I mean, I guess some could say that, but I thought on the whole the movie was just stupid violence, like just comic booky, action figures. That's really what it felt like to me. So
yeah,
I'd say see it. And if you've been holding off because you've been reading the reviews and they're all so negative and stuff, if you read the positive ones. They kind of get it, at least from what I can tell on Rotten Tomatoes. They sort of get it. It's not supposed to be a great movie, and it will never be. But it made tons of money, and they're going to do sequels. So here you go, Hasbro. You're going to make more, and it's fine. If they make it like this last one, I'm excited about that. By the way, the guy that plays Duke, he's stupid. Lame. Dumb.
Oh, yeah, he's a bad...
He's a terrible actor.
He's All-American Hero.
Well, he looks... You know what he looks like? He looks like somebody, like an extra they pulled off of Black Hawk Down, like one of the guys that died early in that movie. He looks like any one of those, just this short haired sort of marine stand in kind of actor guy, and he was just stupid.
Somebody from Iron Eagle 4.
Yeah, And by the way, I'm not sure how I felt about the third Rock from the Sun dude being in there and being such a major role, but whatever. I liked it. See it. It's fun. Okay. A few shows ago, you may recall, O recommended the film Quarantine, or specifically recommended the Spanish movie that it's based on, or it's essentially a remake of. And the Spanish movie is called what again?
Rec. As you know, as in the button you press to record.
Oh, REC. Oh, okay, now that makes sense for what it is. Okay. Well, anyway, I finally saw it. It stars that Carpenter chick who's the sister of Dexter on Showtime. I never remember her full name. Karen
Dee Dee?
Carpenter? No. Maybe Karen
not,
Carpenter.
Not Dee Dee?
No, not. Who's Dee Dee?
No, Dee Dee is Dexter's sister.
Oh, is that her name in the show?
Dexter's Lab. Yeah. Oh, from Dexter's Lab.
Oh, no, not that stupid show.
No, you know who she is?
Hey.
You know who she is? She's Emily from The Exorcism of Emily Rose.
That is true. That is true.
If you have not seen, is one of the better horror films from recent times.
Absolutely good movie. That's a great movie. And I kind of like her. She got a crazy energy about her.
I like her eyes. They're weird.
Yeah, they're totally weird.
The eyes, but she's totally hot.
And she looks like she might have real bad breath.
You were going to say you look like she might have sex.
No. I mean,
you started with an S.
If she breathed on you, you'd go, "Oh, dude, sour milk." It just wouldn't smell. Something's up with her breath.
Where the crap would you get that idea?
I get this every movie I go to. I think about that. Like I'll see it doesn't matter who. I'll see somebody and go, "I'll bet that guy or that chick's got just the worst breath."
Okay. So who would it be? Minty Fresh.
Brad Pitt's got good breath.
Foo Fighters
had to be a dude. Yeah. That doesn't. I mean,
Morgan.
Okay.
Morgan Freeman has good breath.
Okay. Do any women have good breath in your world?
Oh, in the movies, good breath comes from Rachel McAdams. She has good breath. The chick from King Kong has decent breath. And I'm trying to think who else.
Has decent.
You know who has real bad breath? Jennifer Aniston, stinkiest breath on screen. Oh man, bad.
So basically, anybody who's hot has bad breath.
Yeah. No. No. There's a very specific look to people. I'm not even saying they're not hot. There's just something about them that looks like just blah, like eggy, just blah. I can't explain it.
Okay. Wait.
Problems.
With what right do you people call me crazy?
Sigourney Weaver, bad breath. Bad.
Okay, what about Ron Perlman?
Ron Perlman has cinnamon breath.
Oh, man.
No way, man. Ron Perlman has got to have the worst breath on the planet. Come on.
I don't know.
He has like a spearmint-y breath. He looks like he chews a lot of gum.
I don't know.
No way. Ron Perlman looks like he just ate a live dog from the street, and he's going to burp it up any second.
Okay, maybe Ron Perlman's
I mean, there is no way Ron Perlman can have bad breath. There is no way Sean Connery does not just smell like an old dude.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, the guy has got to smell like the bottom drawer of grandma's closet.
All right, let's look at all the James Bonds. He probably has terrible breath. The one from the 80s, what was his name? Roger Moore, Roger I think, Moore. Had bad breath but never knew it.
I bet he has armpit smell. I mean, he's got to have the worst beard.
He's got bow. And then the guy after him.
The funniest thing that
who's the guy after him? I forgot his name.
I don't know. Pierce Brosnan always looks. I mean, to me, Pierce Brosnan always looks kind of sweaty.
Pierce Brosnan looks like a guy. He looks like a guy that doesn't necessarily have bad breath, but you're having a conversation with him, and you can see him shift his weight and cut a little toot off.
No.
What's that rotten carrot smell?
For some reason, Pierce Brosnan to me looks like he sweats a lot. So you're talking to him like maybe it's 6 in the morning, you're on set, it's butt spanking cold, and he's sweating all over the place, and you're not understanding why. Has that ever happened to you that you come across like this? It happens a lot with fat people. Yeah. That it's like 6 a.m. and it's very cold, but they somehow have armpit stains already.
Yeah, I know. I know, and that's how I'd feel around the new,
Bond. And the new one, Daniel Craig, I bet he smells like a hobo.
Dude, I'll bet Daniel Craig has terrible breath, but you wouldn't know it because he'd kill you before you could tell. You freaking punch your face in.
Remember what I said from the first James Bond when he's walking out of the ocean and you can see how built he is? He has a hobo body. He has hobo build.
Yeah, but he's a tough hobo. A hobo has to fight for his turf and stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, he's not a hobo you would want to steal his cardboard box, but right. he definitely must smell like a hobo.
Who took my newspaper? Yeah. All right, well, there's where the hell was I? Oh, so quarantine. She has bad breath.
Mr. T's probably smells like chocolate bar. Wait. I mean, for all those
chocolate
haven't you
barf.
Seen the Snickers commercials?
Oh, yeah, with the tank and stuff. Oh, yeah.
Oh, those are awesome commercials. He's probably like, they probably paid him in Snickers.
They hired a guy to play him in the movie. I can't remember his name, though. Big huge.
Oh, yeah, we saw that. Yeah.
Anyway.
I'm just glad it wasn't 50 Cent.
So, 50 Cent. Let's talk about quarantine. So I saw this movie. It came out in 2008. It kind of went under the radar for me. I didn't even know about it until O said, oh, yeah, there's that. And it's based on this movie called Wreck or Record. And so I got it. And it's essentially told very Blair Witch style. The difference here is it's a local reporter doing a sort of a
You know there's actually a technical term for this. It's shoulder-mounted camera.
Well, yeah. But you can do that without it being documentary style. I mean, this was told as if the story was being told by the cameraman had the whole time, as opposed to something like, I don't know, NYPD Blue, where the whole thing's filmed like that, but it's not, no one assumes anyone in the room has a camera on their shoulder.
Yeah.
It's just being filmed.
You just assume that the cameraman is drunk.
Yeah, exactly. And this is a lot of jerky filmmaking, I'll give you that much. It reminded me of Cloverfield. I felt like
it's not as Cloverfield, because Cloverfield made a lot of people dizzy.
Oh, yeah. No, it made people sick. They were running out of theaters barfing and stuff. This wasn't that bad. And it was on a small screen, so I didn't care. But so I watched it, and it was told the story. It was just an interest piece this reporter was doing on local fire people. And
people made of fire.
I don't want to give too much away, but essentially they go to this apartment building where there's been a call, and they finally get to go there. And she's excited because they get to film the firefighters doing their work. And there's some woman in there with blood all down her front who's gnashing her teeth and making a lot of noise, and they can't figure out what's wrong with her. She attacks one of the firemen and bites him real bad on the neck. And then hell ensues, and everybody starts getting bit, and it's basically a zombie movie. And I don't mean zombies in the undead sense. I mean like virus zombies. And people are getting basically a form of rabies that's fast acting and turns them into like these bloodthirsty, crazy people that just want to bite you and eat you and stuff. It's basically 28 weeks later in a building. That's fine with me because I like that. One day later.
Yeah. Well, he's like in a building, isn't that what it did in the mall when it was.
Dawn of the Dead. Yeah, that's true. Except they were. Except I don't think they were viral. I don't know what they were. Hey guys, pardon the interruption. Just want to talk real quick about Audible.com. I love me some Audible, and I love me a certain book. If you go to audiblepodcast.com/extralife, you can get this book for free or any other that you may choose. And I bring this one up. I think I've actually talked about this one on the show before. But it's The Road by Cormac McCarthy, unabridged, read by Rupert Degas. I think is how you say his name. One of my favorite books of all time ever. And the movie's coming out this fall, or soon. I don't know how soon, but real soon, with Viggo Mortensen and some kid I don't know. And I'm really excited about the movie, so I've been rereading the book. And by rereading, I mean re-listening to it. I think you should, too. But you can get that or any other book you want at audible.com/extralife, or no, audiblepodcast.com/extralife. And you can get it for free. Maybe they were. But anyway, point being... So they quarantine this building, and it gets all roped off by the government, and the CDC's outside, and you never really see any of that, because again, the whole thing's being told with this reporter's camera, and eventually that camera becomes really their only light that's left after the power's out, and they're in the attic, and there's all this stuff. It is one of those movies that I really respect in the way they end it. I love movies that end without people I don't want to give anything away, but I like movies.
Scott, you already said
I kind of already did. Let me put it this way. I like movies where they're not afraid to do the thing you don't expect. And this movie did that. And I liked it quite a bit. I liked, it was intense. It was, there were moments where I would kind of laugh because I don't think they meant it to be funny, but there were moments where you're like, dude, that was funny.
And, yeah, that was funny.
You know, a few moments like that. But good times. Enjoyed it. I was happy to see the mustache guy get it first. what else did I notice in there? There was a lot of actors you've seen do a lot of other things on TV and otherwise that were in this. It was they just kind of pop up and you go, oh, yeah, I remember that guy. I wonder how soon he'll die. Yeah. Anyway.
So Ted Danson showed up.
Ted Danson did not show up, but his hairpiece did.
Ted Danson, I knew. Was it Red Line that Ted Danson showed up?
No, he showed up in Shaving Ryan's Privates.
Shaving Private, that was it.
Yeah.
I remember the Red Line. I remember a lot of actors kept showing up, and I was like, every time I thought the movie was almost over, it's like, here comes another big actor, and I'm like, oh, crap.
It's Ernest Borgnine. No, you know what? If you haven't seen Damages on TNT, it's two seasons in now.
I haven't seen that yet.
Or no, is it TNT?
It's really good.
I think it's TNT, or FX, I can't remember. Anyway, that show is
awesome.
I think
it's FX.
Really, really good, and Ted Danson is great in it. Holy crap. He kind of
I love him, Becker.
Yeah, he's gonna. Yeah, you're a big Becker fan. You like Becker. You like Becker because Dax was in it. Jadzia Dax from Star Trek. She quit Star Trek to do that show.
I like Becker because of the nurse.
I don't remember the nurse.
Yeah, the crazy nurse that he had was hot.
She was pretty cute.
I'd do her.
She would. You would do her. That doesn't mean anything. So quarantine, pretty cool. You've seen both. You saw the Spanish thing and this, and how close are they together? When was the Spanish one made?
It was probably made a couple years before. I'm not very sure. Okay, I'll just go right out and say it right from the start. If you have an opportunity to watch both, I would definitely recommend watching the Spanish version. Because of a very simple, for example, there's this one movie I saw last week called, I forgot how it was called in English because I saw, of course, the title was translated to Spanish, but it's something with two sisters. Oh, The Uninvited.
Oh, yeah. Heard about that.
And it's a remake of a Korean movie, and, you know, then you got Quarantine, it's a remake of a Spanish movie. And the thing is, culturally, United States, as far as movies go, United States is normally not willing to go all the way. So when you get horror movies from another country and they remake them for the American culture, the movie loses a lot of its disturbing factor. You know, the Spanish version. Quarantine, you know, the original Wreck is much, much, much more disturbing. It's a lot, the movie is a lot more like raw, for lack of a better word. They changed some things. In the American version, it's a virus. In the Spanish version, it's actually a religious guy. It's like a priest that was working with possessed girls. He was trying to sort of rid them of their demons.
Well, it was more of a supernatural take on it.
Yeah, the Spanish version is just a lot more disturbing than the English than the American version. The same thing happens for The Uninvited. You know, I saw the original Korean version called just Two Sisters, and it's a lot more disturbing. What you do get with the American version is that normally the effects are a lot better.
Right.
So the effects in Quarantine are tons of times better than they are in Wreck. But, you know, they normally just use the lighting and the camera movement and all that to sort of work through it.
Yeah.
If Quarantine freaked you out, watching Wreck is not going to freak you out anymore because the movies are paced exactly the same and they're very much alike. Mm. But Wreck is 10 times more disturbing. If you can watch any of the two, I would recommend Wreck. Definitely.
Okay. Interesting. But it's the same idea? Reporter and all that?
Yeah, the Spanish reporter. I mean, they're both hot, but the Spanish reporter is way hotter. and she has the filthiest mouth on the planet. So she is basically going all through the movie yelling out. I mean, she has the dirtiest mouth all through the movie. And I thought it was awesome because, I mean, that is really how I would imagine this going on. I mean, you get a bunch of regular people, put them in a building, close the building, and there's a bunch of zombies in there. These people are going to be throwing out.
They're like, going to curse.
They're going to be cursing all the way through.
Yeah. Yeah, I would. So, I'd be freaking out.
And that, I mean, I'm not exaggerating. Like 75% of the words she says are just pure cursing.
Wow. Yeah, it's not like quite like that in quarantine, but I don't know. See, it's funny you say this is an interesting issue or a point. You say that the American culture doesn't allow for it to be as disturbing or whatever. And they changed the basic story to feed a different audience, and the story went from supernatural possession story to virus outbreak story. And I kind of, at least in concept, I like virus outbreak story better because supernatural takes me out of it. Makes me go, well, this is, you know.
Trust me. This is not, I mean... The Spanish version doesn't feel supernatural. It's not really supernatural per se. I mean, it's just a girl that's sort of possessed, but the movie doesn't really go on that approach of it, you know, being something supernatural. It's just something weird going on, and the Spanish movie doesn't try to explain it.
So they don't really explain it. That's different. That's kind of
as much as the American version feels the need to.
Yeah.
And the Spanish version, you can almost conclude yourself that it was probably a virus.
Yeah.
But, you know, some crazy-ass priest was up in an attic trying to cure this girl from her demons, you know? And that has a lot of – actually, that makes a lot of sense. And in general, I would say anytime you get an American remake of a movie, I normally would recommend checking out the original first. I mean, the same thing goes on for example, The Ring. If you guys saw The Ring.
The Ring's a Japanese film, right, originally?
Yeah, The Ring is a Japanese film. It's the American version is a lot of fun – but the Japanese version is just plain weird. I mean, it is so weird that it's just disturbing.
Yeah. That's why I'm always surprised that Miyazaki movies do so well over here, because they're so weird. Even when they translate them, they're weird.
But that has a lot to do with... I'm sorry to say this, Scott, but that has a lot to do with you, because as far as Japanese films go, Miyazaki is about as normal as it gets.
Oh, I know, but I'm not saying anything that isn't just me saying it. There's a lot of people that say this. I hear reviewers all the time who go, I love his movies. I don't know what the hell I'm looking at, but it's awesome. And that's how I feel about him. I'll see him and go, yeah, there's a giant black blob. He's eating furniture, and then he's puking it up later. That's awesome. I don't know why he's doing that, though. You know, that's kind of my reaction to Miyazaki movies. And I really do want to see Ponyo pretty bad. But I haven't. But perhaps I will. Have you seen it? Anyone see that?
But perhaps you will. I have not seen it.
I heard it's good.
I'm going to have to download it, unfortunately.
I hear it's essentially a story.
Download
it's,
it legally?
It's basically The Little Mermaid with, you know, his take on it. Which is fine. It sounds like it'll be a weird Little Mermaid take.
Yeah.
And I like
Little Mermaid itself is kind of weird.
Yeah, I want more barfing black blobs. If he could work that out, it'd be great.
Awesome.
Puking up the furniture. Okay.
Well, the only thing I've heard about Ponyo is that most of Miyazaki's earlier films did not feel as kid-oriented as this last one. I mean, this last one is supposed to really, really, really feel like it's made for kids.
Yeah.
Well, if you watch a film like, you know, like Castle in the Sky or Nausicaa or even Totoro. I mean, these are films that normally they will subject kids to these films, but they're not really kids' films. I mean, they aren't really.
No.
They're not Scott Johnson films either. He doesn't get them either. So,
dude, I get them. Yeah. I love them. I think they're amazing. Some of my favorite stuff. I freaking love it. I just don't have – sometimes there's times where you just go, what? What are you doing? What exactly
is that? I just want to watch G.I. Joe.
I realize it's a different it's a different kind of narrative, and I, you know, whatever. But, you know, there's always the laughing little old man, and there's always the big eyes, and they're, you know. That's anime in general. But his stuff is awesome, but there's some weirdness there. Like, I don't think Spirited Away, my kids just don't get it.
Get it, yeah. And I love Spirited Away. I think it's a beautiful movie, but I'm the same way. My kids, there's no way I can make my kids sit down and watch that.
You know, that's John Lasseter claims it's his favorite movie of all time.
Well, what's he know?
Well, he's, you know, Pixar guy.
Yeah, I know, but...
Well, he didn't know crap. He's just another loser. Another poser.
He's one of the dupes. He's one of the Toy Story 3. Is he had ideas? I mean, come on.
Yeah, I'm sure that's going to blow. Oh, I did notice, by the way, that Toy Story 1 and 2 are at the same theater in 3D, so they've done some kind of re-release in 3D with those movies.
Really?
Yeah, there's some double feature for the price of one. All right.
The price of one.
I'm going to mention something I saw that originally aired on TV. I recommend this very highly if you can somehow get your hands on it through renting it or whatever on DVD. If you have
Paris Hilton does LA?
No. That's a terrible movie. Yep. Had too much Paris Hilton in it.
Yeah.
It's The Lost Room, and it starred
Lost Room.
Peter Krause, Dakota Fanning's little sister that basically looks exactly like her sister.
Yeah.
It had the chick from ER. Can't remember her
little
name.
Fanny.
What? Who?
I don't know. Little Fanny? I don't know.
Little Fanny.
It was talking about Dakota Fanning.
No. I forgot her name. Something Fanning. It had a whole bunch of other people in it. It had Kevin Pollak in it. Normally as a comedian, but in this he played a fairly serious role. Anyway, it's a science fiction story about this hotel room and something that happened in it in 1961. And this key and all the objects that were in the room at the time this thing happened all have magical properties or properties
that are
supernatural that can do different things. And I absolutely loved it. It was like seven episodes, something like that. And I thought it was really great. I don't know why this wasn't picked up as a regular series because they left it open for that if they wanted. So awesome. Like, why aren't we getting more? We need more of this content from sources like Sci-Fi and others. It was so great. Yeah. So I'm gonna.
There's every year more and more sci-fi stuff gets cut.
It's just so
expensive, I suppose.
Yeah. So I know you guys haven't seen it, but I really recommend it. If there's some way to do it, you may be able to torrent it or something. But
well, I suppose then you guys would be actually proud of me because today with my students at the university, a lot of them were saying that they were going to download District 9, and I told them no, you should go watch it at the movies. It's going to be in the movies in a couple of weeks, and look, it's an independent film director that said, you know, I don't want to make any more movies about gay cowboys eating pudding. I want to make a movie that's sci-fi, and, you know, we should actually support that.
What?
You know?
Wait, gay cowboys eating pudding? What are you talking about?
Oh, so you don't get the South Park reference, do you?
No, I must have missed that episode. You're not saying it was directed by, what's his name, the Chinese
dude? It's just an independent film.
Oh, got it. Okay.
Yeah.
And most independent films are all about boring crap, and this is an independent film that is sci-fi, and you know, that's awesome. I think it's awesome that independent film directors are not just doing this whole, you know, boring stuff with ugly women and people with feelings. No, I don't like people to have feelings.
Right. You haven't seen it yet, because it hasn't shown up there yet, but you will.
No, on the 25th.
Oh, you're going to like that movie. I can't imagine O not just loving that movie. You're going to be... You'll be in oh heaven.
Well, maybe I'll just hate it just, you know, to get on your nerves.
You may.
Just out of spite, yeah.
And for the crap,
I've seen him do that.
For the crap of it last week, I watched, don't ask me why or how this came about, but I ended up watching Sling Blade.
Oh, yeah. You never seen Sling Blade?
No, I'd seen it on and off, pieces, bits, and pieces for a long time. I never saw the whole thing through for some reason. I'd
really?
See it in chunks. I just never got around to it or whatever. The movie was out in 96, I guess.
Yeah.
And I just never really got around to it. I thought, you know what? I'm going to watch a little Billy Bob Thornton tonight and see what the big deal is. I didn't know.
Who the crap says that? Come on.
I know. It's a good point. But I didn't know John Ritter was in it. It was like one of the last
John Ritter
cool
was
things
brilliant.
He was great in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really good. I didn't know that that movie had such an edge to it at the end. Like, that was kind of shocking.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
But,
that was a great movie.
It's a really good movie. I wish Billy Bob would direct and write more. You hated it?
No, me, I loved it.
I don't know, man.
Call it a concert blade. I call it a sling blade.
That's pretty good.
I don't know, man. I mean, if somebody dares to call himself Billy Bob, he should not be allowed to do
anything.
That was his given name. He can't help it.
Brian, I didn't know you did such a good Carl Childers, whatever his name was.
That's great.
I liked it a lot. It's really great, yeah. It was surprising. That guy, Dwight Yoakam, he's a douchebag.
Oh, yeah, terribly. I just love the fact that I started eating mustards on my biscuit.
You did not.
Oh, you're right.
After you kill somebody, I'm going to eat some mustard.
That's right.
Eat some biscuits, my mustard on it.
You got any mustard back there?
You do that really well. Too well.
I'd eat some French fried taters.
All right. That's good. I liked it. Mustard on my biscuits.
I think it's great.
That sounds like a euphemism for something.
And what was amazing about that movie is this is like one of the first things I ever really seen Billy Bob Thornton in. And when I saw him again later, I'm like, that can't possibly be him because he was huge. I mean, he was a giant.
Well, he was all Tombstone. Remember that? And that was just a year before.
He seems like he's so tall and big in Sling Blade. I don't know what it is, but he looks like he's just a giant in that movie. And
yeah.
His other movies, he looks small and mousy.
He's also good in that Coen Brothers movie that I can't remember the name of, the black and white one. I liked it. The man with no face or no hair or something.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was called.
With no hair.
Great movie.
That's exactly what it was.
But mustard on my biscuit is probably going to be the title of the show tonight.
Yeah.
Because that sounds gross. What else? That's probably it. That's probably it for today. I can't think of anything else. I mean, there's a lot of fun stuff going on. I'm. You know what? I cannot say enough, and this is not going to make happy to hear me say this, but I love, not like, not sort of like, love Netflix. I love the streaming service. I watch it all the time when I've got when I'm doing a comic and I just need a quick half hour or something, like a little documentary or something. I can have that going in the background.
Totally.
So much content, dude! I freaking love it. I wish they would do I know they have licensing issues and stuff. Same with Hulu. I wish they would just broaden this out to other places so other countries could enjoy this. Every time I mention something on Hulu, people in Canada are going to like storm the castle and kill us.
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
and I'll tell you, they both had their own markets. I mean, Netflix has the movies wrapped up. I mean, 100%.
Totally.
And Hulu definitely has the TV shows.
Yeah, they do. And they've got some decent movie stuff, too. Oh, what were you going to say?
Well, yeah, cool.
Yeah.
But, it's not like I can't watch the movies. I watch them, just not in a method that you approve of.
Well, no, I don't care. You can do whatever you want. I don't have any approval or disapproval. All I'm saying is, the breadth of content available on Netflix means that you're going to get things that you're not even thinking of. Like you'll be going, oh my gosh, they have this? I haven't seen this since I was 10, and you put it in. Or what's this documentary on the life of woodpeckers and why they have no vagina? Or whatever it is. Whatever the show is, they have it. And it's crazy, crazy deep. And that's
but you have to pay for it.
Yeah, you're right. You do. You have to pay.
Yeah, you see, that's where the rest of the people of the world that are like me kind of lose interest. We go like, pay for it? No way.
Yeah. You guys would prefer not to pay for anything. How do you get food? What do you do? Just walk into a grocery store and say...
We just go out and kill stuff, you know?
All right. Hunter-gatherer stage. I like it.
Yeah, you know.
All right.
You know, I'm kind of hungry. Oh, look. The neighbor let her kids out. Big mistake.
Yeah. Good point. All right. Well, I think that's going to do it. Fun show. Thank you guys for being here. Anything you guys want to plug or pump? Brian, how's your guy in a bush doing?
It's doing great. It will return.
You there?
Wow, that does not... that is not a good omen, man.
No, it doesn't. It will return. Brian? Hello, Brian? All right. Hold on. We'll re-add him.
Man.
That's funny. Right? Hold on. I put you on hold for some reason. Hang on. I'll call you right back. Freaking thing. Gosh dang it.
Okay, do we have him back?
I'm going to try again.
Oh, there it is. It's ringing.
It's connecting, yeah. We'll see if it gets him or not. If not, we'll plug you, and that'll be it. he's not there.
Oh, it failed.
All right, go to guyinabush.com, guyinabush.com.
But Guy in a Bush is not happening these days because he's getting it ready for that contest, and he was about to say when it was coming back, but...
Oh, all right. Well, go there anyway. And see whatever he's got there to see. That'd be a good idea. And follow him on Twitter. That's it, at Mission Deep. Do that right away. And, of course, can be found at commissioncomic.com. Anything big coming out of commission these days for the 5-year anniversary? Anything cool?
Well, I don't know. I mean, the 5-year anniversary tomorrow. Is tomorrow. And so you'll probably see something about that on Friday's comic.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm not going to say what I'm going to be doing it with it yet. But... the audio rant, I'm going to see if I can edit it this weekend so we can have the audio rant back.
Yay. People like that.
And the audio rant is fun.
Right.
And, and I actually, why not? Why not say it? I actually did start work on the new comic. I started working on Bleeding Weapons.
Oh. Oh, the new Sirius comic.
Yes.
The not serious, not that he's serious about commission. What we mean is he's doing one that's like totally like dark fantasy, cool, right?
Yeah. I started working on it.
I'm excited. That's going to be awesome. So. All right. Well, make sure you check commissioncomic.com for all the details, and follow him, of course, at @oabnormal on Twitter if you got the Twitter. For me, everything you need to know about this show, the comic I do, and countless other shows and various other things, you can go to myextralife.com. That's myextralife.com. Send us feedback at myextralife@gmail.com. And keep your eye out on Scott Kurtz's website, PvP Online, tomorrow. See, Friday, I will be doing his a guest comic that day. He is still ill and in Seattle, not able to return home, and has asked a few of us to help him out. So I am doing that Friday, so keep an eye open for that. Oh, and you can follow me on Twitter at Extra Life. That's twitter.com/Extra Life. Thank you, Brian. Thank you, O. Thank you, chat room. Thank you, everyone who helps this show become and maintain what it is. We really appreciate it. Thank you, GoDaddy, for sponsoring. Thank you, my mom, for giving birth to me. That was very nice of her. That's going to do it for us. We'll see you guys next time. Lots of stuff to talk about on the next episode of ELR. Until then, please take care.
Hey, Scott, this is Rick Moyer from TakeHimWithYou.com. Here's my latest Star Trek parody song. This is called Spock's Brain.
Beam aboard!
His brain is gone.
You are a disembodied brain.
I more.
Brain and brain, what is brain?
In that direction, there's a foundation under the circuit. A huge one.
A place of six planets. The party begins. A giant with leg warmers and an underground town. The toilets are broken. To the small like a board. The men are all questioned by the women no more. Pleasure and pain. We're going on a search for Spock's brain. We're going on a search for Spock's brain.
Where are you going to look for Spock's brain? How are you going to find it?
I know your medulla oblongata sings. You gotta.
Controller's explanation of the functioning of the teacher is essentially correct.
They give pain and delight.
No one can restore a brain. You could. A
while ago was child's play.
Waste and the pain for the red button instead. Toy is the knowledge and works on Spock's head. Maybe in 3 hours of work, the doctor repairs him. Watch for Scotty and Kirk. So there's a million, but with Spock, he'll be not late. We've been well on a trip. We just went on a trip and we found Spock's brain.
Captain, there is a definite pleasurable experience connected with the hearing of your voice. Try the sonic separator.
He's operating at warp speed.
I shouldn't have done it. What's that? I should have never reconnected his mouth.
I don't know.
No way. Ron Perlman looks like he just ate a live dog from the street, and he's going to burp it up any second.